Okay, good afternoon, everyone. And go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. We are in 1 Peter, closing up chapter 1 of 1 Peter. And as you're turning there, I want to just give a brief honor to my grandfather, Castel S. Habakon. I get my name from my grandfather. As some of you know my story, I have never met my biological father. He got my mom pregnant at the age of 19 and hid behind his rich family. And it was my grandfather and my uncles and my cousins who helped raise me and to be a man. And my grandfather, who passed away in 2001, was a huge, huge impact and influence on my life. It was through his Bible that I was saved. And it's funny because when he passed away, I went to his house and I found a lot of stuff that he stole from me. Stole books, stole clothes, stole things. But what he did was he stole them so he could give them to other my poor relatives. And then there they are in himself. But I stole his Bible. And from that, my life changed. And that's part of my story. So I just give honor to my grandfather, my Lolo, Castro S. Habakon. And to the fathers here, I totally blew it last month on Mother's Day. I completely forgot about Mother's Day and didn't honor you. So I feel bad now for giving honor to the fathers. But I do want to honor the fathers. And for those of you who are aspiring to be fathers someday, keep at it. And God will give you the desires of your heart if you delight in Him. So, we are in 1 Peter chapter 1 at the very end. We're going to pick it up at verse 22 and just go to verse 25. Verse 22 to verse 25. Would you read it with me? Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. I want to talk briefly on three things. First, obedience. Second, love. And third, the word of God. Obedience, love, and the word of God. It says in verse 22, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth. Obeying the truth. There is a direct correlation there. I want you to circle in your own Bible if you have two very distinct words. Obeying the truth. So circle obedience and purified. Purified your heart. So purification. Okay, there is a direct correlation between obedience to truth and purification. And it says, I think in our translation, purified your soul or purified your heart or purified yourself, I think. Yeah, and the literal word is soul. You've purified your soul. And basically what we can gather from the whole teaching of Scripture is simply the truth is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The truth is the message of this word. The truth is that Jesus Christ died for our sins in our place, taking our punishment, and in exchange, giving us forgiveness and eternal life, relationship with the Father. That's the truth of the Word. And obedience to that truth basically means putting your faith, your trust in that gospel truth. So obeying the truth is becoming a Christian, giving your life to Jesus Christ. And the result of that is a purified soul. is being purified. Now, there's two ways that we are purified. One, it says that now that you have purified, it's complete, it's done. It's done. Jesus Christ on the cross, hung there, taking our punishment, said, "It is finished," meaning we don't need to do anything more to receive a purified soul. This is the doctrine of imputation. Jesus Christ has imputed to us his righteousness. So his purity, his complete and utter goodness is now inserted into us. And so now that we have faith in Jesus Christ, we have obeyed the truth of the gospel, our souls are purified. That's the one sense. Now the other sense is that our souls are being purified. You see, if you've been with me reading through 1 Peter, 1 Peter loves the image of purification, sanctification, of gold being burnt and refined by the fire, being purified again and again and again, so that through the heating process, the impurities rise to the top, and the goldsmith scrapes those impurities away, and we have a more pure and valuable gold. And Peter says, more valuable than that pure gold is your faith, your soul. And it is being purified how? Through obedience. Through obedience. And so, who is our model and our example of obedience? It is Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to obey more. I want to be better at obedience. I want to learn the obedience that you learned, Jesus. And so I look at you. I read your gospels. I see what you've said. I hear what you said. And I obey your teaching. And it's hard. It's hard. For those of you who walked with Jesus for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, it's not as easy as preachers sometimes claim it is. It's easy that when you have the Holy Spirit. But there are times when it's the fork in the road. And Jesus says, you're going to choose my way or you're going to choose your way. You're going to obey or you're going to disobey. And I'm going to tell you right now, there is a purification in obedience to Jesus Christ. There is a goal. There is something so beautiful and so good, it's worth more than pure gold if you will obey him. So there's. I know it's hard. And there are many of us have examples every day of the difficulty of obeying and disobeying. But brother, my brother, my sister, obey and let the purification of God just wash over you. It's going to be good. Take encouragement in that. Now that you have purified your souls by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love. I want to make sure I got that. Yes. Okay, you have a sincere love. I want to talk briefly on love. I could take the whole time on this, but briefly, time is short. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love. Okay, here, now let's get this. So that you have a sincere love, love one another deeply. This is just kind of, this kind of tripped me up this week when I was reading it, studying it, and thinking about it. You have a love that's come through obedience to the truth, okay? You have this love. He's telling you have love. You have not just regular, you have sincere love. Now that you have it, love. What? Peter, you're telling me what I have, and then you're going to tell me what I need to do with it? That didn't make any sense. I have it. It's like saying, now that you have lungs, breathe. Right? Now that you have eyes, see. That, it's, you know, it's like, isn't that obvious, Peter? I have a sincere love. And then he has to command us. He has to tell us in the imperative form, love one another deeply. With a sincere heart. What's going on there? Isn't it natural for me to love? Doesn't it just come easy for me to love people? Well, if it does, then why does he have to command us to do it? So that kind of got to trip me up a bit. And I was thinking, how does that work? How is it that I have a sincere love for people? And how is it that I need to use it? Well, let's look back at that first love. We have a sincere love. We have a real love, okay?
In other words, before Jesus Christ, before faith in the truth of the gospel, what was our love? Are you telling me it's not real? It's not sincere. There's two kinds of love. There's the love of the world, and then there's the love of God. The love of the world, as you and I have experienced it, it's a two-way street. It's a contractual love. It's, in English, we have the expression, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. Right? You help me, I'll help you. If you give me love, I'll give you love, and I'll give you love if you give me love. Right? That's the love that we grew up with. That's the world that we know. And it doesn't affect just our relationships, but it's the way we work. It's the way we conduct business. It's the way that we live our lives. It's a two-way street. Respect me, I respect you, da-da-da-da, on and on. That's the love of the world. It's not real. Let that sink in. It's not sincere, because there's a different kind of love that God shows us in the Word. And it's the sincere love coming from the truth. The love of God comes to people not because God gets something back by loving them. The love of God is loving people even though he's not going to get anything back. What does the Bible say in Ephesians? Paul says, he says, God displays his love to us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Martin Luther calls it the great exchange. Jesus gets nothing but sin, punishment, death, and we get nothing but love, forgiveness, healing, mercy. God got nothing out of loving us. And that kind of love is what Peter says is sincere love. That's the love of God. It's the love that expects nothing in return. Now, we can just think on that all day, all week, and all year, and that will feed us. But I want to just consider a couple of things. The way I want to illustrate it is this. Before we knew Jesus, we had the love of the world. It was an exchange love. It was a mutual love. But God giving us Jesus Christ upgraded our love to a new level, to a sincere love. This is what's called an MP3 player. I got this for 1,000 yen, and another 1,000 yen gave me a 4 gigabyte memory card. Got it at a discount electronics store. It's a piece of junk, okay? It's an MP3 player. It looks like a little iPod. In fact, somebody looked at it and said, oh, you have an iPod. I said, no, it's not an iPod. It's a 2,000 yen wannabe fake Nisemono iPod, okay? And, it's got a clip for hanging on to your clothes. That thing fell off, so I had to put it together literally by a paperclip. So it's being held by a paperclip. That's how junky it is. And basically what I needed it for was to listen. I like to download sermons and messages and Bible teaching, and I like to listen to that. And it worked for a while, but then it turns out when I turn it off, I get to work, I have to stop in the middle of the sermon. And then when I go back home, I gotta turn it back on, and it rewinds the whole thing, and it's like having a tape cassette player, but worse. Because a tape cassette player, you stop it and you can restart from where you leave off. Not with this piece of junk, okay? You gotta restart. I gotta sit there and press the fast forward button for about 5 minutes and then, okay, is that it? Okay, that's it. That's where I am. And So then I was listening to a message and the pastor was talking about using an iPod to download good things, and he said, you should repent and get yourself a real iPod. And I said, okay, that's the message for me. And a couple of weeks ago, I got my summer bonus, praise the Lord, and I went and got me the real thing. Okay, this is, amen, all right, good. And I'm telling you, this was an upgrade. It's not just an MP3 player. Okay, this is going to sound like an iPod commercial, Apple commercial. Just bear with me for just a minute, okay? I rebelled against all this high-tech shenanigans for the longest time, but then finally Jesus saved me. And it's an iPod. It plays my MP3s. It plays my sermons. And when I have to stop in the middle of it, I can restart it right in the middle where I left off. That's the biggest blessing. But on top of that, okay, I can download other things. I have Bibles on here in languages I can't speak. I've got Spanish Bibles, Latin Bibles, I've got Japanese Bibles, I've got Greek, Latin, and Hebrew Bibles. I can't read this stuff, but I've got it. I've upgraded. What else have I got on there? I've got games, I've got kids Bibles on there. Me and Kyohei are looking at this thing, looking at little Noah's Ark stories and David and Goliath, all downloaded apps, you know, free. I've got things me and Kyohei can play Tank Hero, and we're blowing things up on there and squishing ants and things, all on this thing. It got upgraded. God upgraded me from an MP3 player to this thing. That's the love of God. Before Jesus Christ, we were on this little rinky-dink, you scratch my back, I scratch your back love. And it wasn't real. It wasn't sincere. But man, when we got Jesus Christ, he upgraded our love capacity to really and truly love people. And we don't have to expect anything in return, but it's a kind of love that gives freely and generously and is benevolent to others. To be sure, the Bible says, yes, blessed is the man who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. That's a principle of life. Yes, it's true. You give love, you get it back. But the gospel message is there is a love that's so much so greater than all of that that you can just keep on giving it and giving it and giving it and giving it. You don't need anything to come back at you because you've already got it in you. It's like a fountain of living water just bursting out for it. It's, in Japanese, it's afuridasu, just overflowing. I love that word, afuridasu, afuridasu. Love is just, that's the love of God. It's a sincere love. How do we apply that? Now, all of you fathers are more experienced in fatherhood as me, but I'm learning it as I go. Again, I told you I got my summer bonus, so I took my boy Kyohei out. We went to the electronics store, and we were looking at videos. And I said, yes, I'm going to give my son a gift. And so, you know, I said, okay, Kyohei, which video do you want? That one? No, that's not good. That one? No. You can get anyone except the ones I say no. So he's looking, and we're looking at videos. And he says, okay, I want that one. I said, yeah, that's a good one. Let's get that one. It's a little Disney video. And it's not a cheap one. Deodeo does not give you cheap videos. And I said, okay, well, I got my bonus. But let me make clear what I'm doing to Kyohei. So I kneeled down. I said, Kyohei, now look. Listen closely. Daddy only gets his bonus twice a year. Okay? And I'm giving this to you because I love you. Not because you're a good boy. Not because you put up with me. Not because you went to Yochien every day. No, because I love you. I'm going to give this to you. I wanted him to learn that he's going to get things from his dad. Not because he does good things, but because his dad loves him. His dad is generous and benevolent. That's what I wanted him to learn. And now we balance that off, of course. I know Naomi, on the other hand, she's the type that says, Kyohei, you were a good boy today. Let's get you some pudding. Kyohei, you did a great job at Yochien today. Here's some juice. Kyohei, da-da-da-da, you know, and we give rewards. And that's part of life. Life is of sowing and reaping. There it is, a principle of life, yes. But God, on the other hand, has this other principle of gospel love that is generous and benevolent and just give and give and give. Our God is a giver. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And so that's a sincere love that's working out in my life. One more application I think is important for us as an international body of believers here in this little place. People come and go. These two doors, to me, the image is of a revolving door. People come, give it a couple of years, give it 3 or 4 years, and they return to their home country. And it's heartbreaking. Let me be honest, it's really gut-wrenching sometimes because you get very close, you pray together, you work together, you live together, you struggle together, you study together, you eat together, you do all these things together. You do life together and you get real close, and then, you know, work situations, economic situations, family situations, we have to pull each other up, we have to pull apart. And it's heartbreaking. And so here's the temptation for us who are here long. okay, well, yeah, let me get to know you, let me know your name, let's send some emails, let's do some prayer, but let's not get real close. Because if you have to go, that's going to hurt too much. And let me just put a block on my love and on my relationships, because I don't want to just be heartbroken again. C.S. Lewis says, you know what, you can just do that to yourself. And set, just put your heart in a box. Don't let any air in. Don't let any light in. And you know what's going to find? You're going to find out it's not going to be soft when you open it up. It's going to get hard. It's going to get really impenetrable. And it's not going to be capable of any love at all. And so, Lord, let me repent of my hard-heartedness. Let me repent of my fake, soft, excuse me, surface-level love. Let me really love people, Lord. Lord, let me really pray for people. Let me just do my best to get into their lives and let them get into my life. Because I've been purified by this truth, and I have a sincere love. Now let me love my brothers sincerely with all my heart. That's what his command is to us. Obedience to the truth, love, and finally the word of God. He closes with just this amazing thing, that you've been born again through this thing called the Word of God. I preached on it just a couple Sundays ago, just a brief thing about it. He gives us four aspects of this Word of God. He says, one, it's living. Second, it's enduring. Third, it's imperishable. And fourth, it's preached. Four things about the Word of God that we need to really know. One, it's living. It's living and active. Hebrews 4, Chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. You don't criticize the Word of God. The Word of God criticizes you. You don't get into the Word of God. The Word of God gets into you. It's a living Word. It's the one thing on earth right now that is absolutely perfect. Think about that. When Jesus was on earth, he was the perfect thing. He was the perfect being. He left, leaving us the Word of God. This is it. This is perfection. This is what we have. It's the living Word. It's the enduring Word. The French philosopher Voltaire, he said, you know what? Give it a couple of hundred years. Give it less than that. Give it 100 years. No one will be a Christian. No one will read the Word of God. Christians will be wiped out, and Christianity will be gone from the face of the earth. A few years after he died, the irony is, a Bible company in Geneva bought his house, put in a printing press, and started printing Bibles out of his house. He's long gone. He's dead. But the Word of God endures forever. Forever. So the best thing that I can preach to you here is just the Word of God. I'm going to get to preaching in just a minute. It says it's the living, it's the enduring, it's the imperishing. And Peter just loves this word. This imperishable word. He talks about it all throughout chapter 1. Our faith is imperishing. Our inheritance is imperishing. The seed of Jesus Christ, the gospel, is imperishing. And our word is imperishable. It doesn't fade. It lasts forever. I have another Bible that I'm reading right now. It's called the Battlefield Bible. It's a steel cover. And that, to me, is an imperishable Bible. I can take it anywhere, knock it, throw it. You don't throw the Bible. It's not a frisbee. But you can do it. You can abuse it. It's imperishable. That's my image. But, man, you read these words. The Lord is my rock, my salvation, my refuge, my strong tower. In his name will I trust. It's imperishable. It endures forever. But finally, the Word of God is preached. Brothers and sisters, I know I love how our testimonies are long. I love that. I think that's my prayers are being answered by long testimonies. But also, I think I need to keep my messages long enough, too. Because preaching the word is important. Okay? It is. The first sermon ever given was in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. God says to Adam and Eve, I'm going to put enmity between the offspring of Eve and of Satan, and I'm going to send the Savior to defeat the serpent. the serpent will bruise his heel, but the serpent will crush his head. That's the first preaching of the gospel. God preached it in the Garden of Eden. And then all throughout history, we've got prophets, Moses, we've got priests, Isaiah, and other prophets and priests preaching the word of God. Their lives being threatened, being sawed in half, being hung on trees, being burned and being sawed in half at the same time. The New Testament, Jesus Christ comes. What does he do? He preaches the word of God. Jesus Christ was a preacher of the word. He was his cousin John, the last of the Old Testament prophets, was a preacher of the word of God. In fact, Jesus preached so much they killed him. But they couldn't hold him down. 3 days later, he rose from the grave, and for 40 more days, he kept preaching more sermons. And then after that, his disciples, they were only 120 gathered in this little room. And then Peter stands up. He preaches a sermon. It explodes into 3,120 people as the first church. And from then on, the book of Acts, the history of the church, the first church, is just preaching and preaching and preaching, except when they're not preaching, they're in prison. But even in prison, they're preaching. Okay? So it's just the word of God is preaching, preaching, preaching. So brothers and sisters, if you're here for a while or if you're going to go to another country, go to a church that preaches the word of God and nothing else. No psychology, no self-help, no, you know, how you're going to be a better person. Just preach the word of God. That's what you want. And when you're going to download messages or you're going to read blogs, download messages that preach the word and proclaims the truth. That's our message. Love, obedience to the truth, love one another sincerely, and listen to good preaching. That's our message on Father's Day. Amen. Shall we all, bow our heads and close our eyes in prayer? I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. Would you pray with me? More than I could ever hope or dream of, you have poured your favor on me. One day in the house of God is better than 1,000 days else in the world. So blessed, I can't contain it so much, I gotta give it away. Your love has taught me to live now, and you are more than enough for me. Lord Jesus, I bless your name. Heavenly Father, I give you glory. And Lord, I just ask that you would fill the hearts of those here who are hungry, thirsty for truth. Father, for those of us who need to struggle with obedience, give them strength, Lord. Give me strength, Lord, to obey you the moment I walk out from here. Father, for us, Lord, who are struggling to love people deeply from the heart, oh God, pour out your love on us in such a way that we would love others. Just as you loved us. Father, for those of us here who need to hear your word, to apply your word, to just download your word, to open your word, give us the time of day, give us the resources we need to be dedicated and wholly devoted to your word. This is our prayer, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.